Welcome to episode 39 of the Try Game Sutton Hit Podcast. We're here on Sunday, March the 18th with the shit and the... Wait. Yes, ow! 18th. Okay. I'm supposed to have at least almost a full house here today. We have Ethan, because he's late. Asshole. We have Al.
Damn right,
never bitch. Late. What are you playing?
Pokemon. A little bit of Warcraft every now and then, I guess. And I bought Manhunt.
Is Warcraft losing its grip on you?
No, I just don't have time to play.
Ah, that's a good thing to hear. No Warcraft is good Warcraft. Just kidding. Go ahead. Manhunt?
I bought Manhunt used for, I think, like $6.99 or something like that. And I played the first level. It was pretty cool. Nice stealth mechanics. You can hide in the shadows, and you can sneak behind people and execute them. Plastic bags and glass shards.
Plastic bags?
Yeah, the first weapon you get is a plastic bag, and what you do is you sneak behind the dude, you wrap the bag behind his neck. Now, the way the mechanic works is the longer you hold the button, either the square or the X button, the more violent your execution is.
Okay.
So, the first time, I held it for a really long time, and... he covers the guy with the plastic bag and starts beating him in the head.
Okay.
And then he kicks him while he's on the ground, and then he dies. But then I held it for less time, like one or the other times later, and all he did was he just covered him in the head and held it tight so that he would just suffocate.
Now, it's because it's so that you're like it's so that you have to be in good position to not be seen to do a good stealth kill, right? That's why it makes you hold it down longer?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of just you charging up, like kind of calculating what you're going to do to that guy. So if you don't really have much time, it's like, okay, I got to kill him quick. But if you have a lot of time, it's like, okay, I'm going to do this and that and that and that and that. Because you're always like behind him. The only way you can really execute somebody is if you're behind him. You can't even like jump somebody. I tried to jump somebody because at this one point in his level where this guy was standing in front of his door and I was around the corner.
Uh-huh.
Now, with me being around the corner, I thought, well, I'm hiding in the shadows. I'll just knock on the wall and he'll come over and see what's up. And then I'll just jump him and hit him with the glass shard. But I had to actually fight him because he saw me.
Oh, shit. How's the normal combat?
It's pretty simple. It's like if you walk around with without pressing any buttons, then he blocks. And then if you press the X button, it's a light attack. And if you press the square button, it's a strong attack. So it's very simple. And then you can run over.
Okay, so you're only in the first couple of stages. So do you get any? You haven't gotten any guns, right?
No guns yet. Probably not until like the fourth level.
So it's hand to hand.
Yeah.
Oh, because I want to see what the stealth kills are like with a gun.
Oh, yeah, I definitely want to say that. So I only really had time for the first level, and I was going to play a little today, but that kind of went dead in the water.
Manhunt. Ethan has joined us in the studio. His slacker ass has finally gotten his ass out of bed after watching porn all night. Hello.
Hey.
Hey, it's the Ethy.
Hey.
Turd.
What's up?
Etho Turd.
Slacker. Okay, so Al.
Upper Teethan.
Upper Teethan. Finishing off the... Manhunt thing, how do you think it'll translate to Wii controls?
I think it might translate pretty well, but I'm just trying to think of how you would interact with doing executions. It would probably have to evolve, and right. It's not my job to make it evolve, so I would definitely like to see how they do it.
Yeah, I would hope they make it work, because, you know, like, all the motion control shit has been hit or miss. Like, Call of Duty 3... planning a bomb doesn't work. Driving doesn't work. I mean, it works, but it works poorly. And it's just like, oh, God, you know, you might as well just not do it. So, no, I'd like to see how they do, you know, strangling someone with a hanger wire. And then, like, watch, like, the motion not happen. And then you're sitting there and then you get killed because the remote doesn't work. So, is that all you're playing, or are you playing anything else?
Really, I've only been just touching on trying to fish for this. Yeah, I've been touching
myself. That's kind of kinky.
I've just been picking up Pokemon and trying to fish for this stupid Phoebus
poking men
all week. and I think I played Final Fantasy III for about 10 minutes. I'm almost finished with that.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
And that's. Oh, and I was playing Drill Dozer over the weekend.
I heard it's like Metroid.
Yeah, kind of.
Structure wise. Okay.
Well, it's broken up into stages, though.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
So it's pretty cool. Next.
Hey, now what you bang?
Still Vegas and more Flight Simulator. That's it.
How is did we talk about Flight? I know you said you were playing it that one time, but I don't think we discussed it. How is it?
Which one?
Flight Sim.
Flight Sim.
It's really good. The graphics are too much for my machine.
Really?
Yeah. So it's disappointing because I really like to run the Flight Sims on everything on full, and I turn everything up and I get the worst performance.
What's it like? Like eyeballing the frame rate? What would you?
Oh,
think it's
at
like?
Everything up. If I'm flying over like a forest where the it seems like it slows down the most, it's probably 15, maybe 20.
Oh, that sounds like normal Warcraft day.
That's like Oblivion on my machine with all the lighting turned on. Except Oblivion is acceptable because it's a slower moving game.
Yep.
So it's not like as action packed as something like Flight Sim.
Well, you know what? Actually, I mean, Flight Sim's not really that action packed unless you're in trouble.
Oh no, I gotta hit this doll, that doll, and this doll. Oh, we're going down, this tree is pop, 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 pop. I am going.
Is
the frame rate slowing down?
Yeah. 15 frames a second. Yeah, even slower than that because you have like half an hour to crash it from 30,000 feet, you know?
Oh.
So it's not, I mean, I haven't done any of the combat stuff in it, so it's not a high-stress game, so I can play it like that. It's just, it winds up just being annoying, because I look around and the scenery is so nice, and they did so much, they did a really good job from 2004, but it just bothers me that it's not smooth, so I turn stuff down.
Do you know when the DirectX 10 patch is coming out for it?
I don't.
Okay.
But that'd be
awesome.
Yeah,
because I was going to say, I'd like to see that in DirectX 10 to see how it works.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Vegas won't have it, right? Yeah. Are those Clancy games under the Games for Windows label?
Because
I didn't see it. The last time I saw your shelf, it wasn't. I didn't see it.
No.
Ubisoft, you suck. Oh. All right. Is that it?
Yeah,
that's
it.
Are you playing more chess?
Yeah, I played some chess.
You're playing more conference.
Conference.
I played some. Somebody hacked our email and FTP and somebody hacked Bafo, dude. Somebody hacked our web server.
Shit.
Yeah. So we spent a good 3 hours on Friday looking at all the people from Russia, France.
Maybe it was Kyung getting his revenge
on you. Czech Republic looking at having a cron job run something that reads all our mail files, dumps it to this PHP thing, and then FTPs it to themselves.
That's fucked up.
Yeah, and it looks like it's a vulnerability in Squirrel Mail. So
Squirrel Mail.
Yeah.
Huh?
Call Kyung!
I gotcha. What am I playing?
Yeah,
I'm not playing anything. Let's move on.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I'm playing the best of the best. Some of the best of the best this decade. That being, of course, Twilight Princess and God of War 2. God of War 2, the short first impression is if you don't own it, you're a loser. So go buy it.
Oh, I have lost.
Yeah, me too.
You
I'm
lost.
A loser.
And so... You've lost many times in advance, but this only adds to your losership.
Yeah, they were trying to get me to buy it yesterday.
Oh, the GameStop people?
Yeah.
Oh, you want God of War 2?
I was like, I need to play God of War 1.
I need to lend you that. But it's very much like the first, which is a good thing. And it so far has cut down on the shitty stuff that I complained about beforehand. The first God of War was really good, but I hated, like, how it tried to make some platforming challenges. Like, I don't care to jump around platforms in 3. I just want to fight. And the hit detection on those stupid spinning fucking blades from Hades World. If you've played God of War, and if you guys out there, you know what I'm talking about. So far, they haven't had instances like that. And the areas where you have to balance on beams are minimal and aren't as frustrating. But I think they're still stupid. When you got a guy who double jumps and, like, fucking tears the eyeballs out of Cyclopses and throws it at them and then kicks like dogs at each other and fucking does all this crazy shit. He has to balance on beams. It's really stupid. And I wish they would just get rid of it. That's the stupidest mechanic ever. And of course, it only lets you choose. Of course, it chooses for you when you have to balance on beams because, oh, he can run across really narrow platforms, but it's just when it's triggered as a beam balancing act that he starts to balance his stupid fucking head. It's stupid. Sony, get rid of it. Okay, other than that, so far, much better than the first game. More of the same, but I don't care. It's also the same complaint I hear people say about Zelda, so it's kind of a double standard. If you're going to praise stuff like God of War and Halo as the greatest things, don't put down Zelda for being more of the same, but that's my little rant. Anyway, Zelda is also good. I'm leading up to the Water Temple, which I hear is like the bane of people's existence.
It's hard.
It's hard. Have you beaten it yet, or are you still in it?
I beat it.
Okay, so it's hard. Shit. Is it harder than the Ocarina of Time one?
Yeah, because it's...
Ah, fuck.
It's not about rising and lowering water levels. It's about... quite frankly, it's about rotation.
And shit. I hate those.
It's just hard because you gotta do a lot of rotating a certain object in order to get from place to place. Right. Exactly.
There's this big-ass rotation puzzle in the first God of War that was annoying, too. I've also been playing Final Fantasy VI, and as usual, that's great. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Moving. Uh-huh. Oh, before I move on, first impressions, I got a classic controller for the Wii, and it actually feels really good. It looks really ugly. Like, I hate the shape. It looks like a... It looks like a burrito. Like a big, one of those big-ass burritos that you get from Chipotle. Mm-hmm. Not like a McDonald's burrito or like a fucking weenie one, but like a thick
a
one.
Real.
Like one of those thick ones that are big as your head. It's like this oblong oval shape, and it looks really ugly.
Chipotle's owned by McDonald's.
Yes. But the buttons are really responsive. The analog sticks are nice and, you know, tight and responsive. The D-pad is nice and big. It's the same size as a SNES pad. And I think it feels more comfortable than a SNES pad, except for the fact that the X and Y buttons are not caved in, not concave. So it kind of feels different. I just kind of like that old concave feel to those buttons. I'm just used to it. It was good. And you can control the finger with the analog stick in the Wii interface. So, I was sitting in bed yesterday, like playing A Link to the Past, really lazy like, and I was like, well, I want to switch to Streets of Rage, but I don't want to lift my arm to use the pointer to switch to Streets of Rage. I'm like, fuck, what do I do? And I just started twiddling the analog stick randomly, and I saw the pointer move, and I'm like, oh shit! So I just switched from Zelda to Streets of Rage using the A button and the analog stick. So it's a lazy man's dream. But then I had to get up and turn off my monitor because it doesn't turn off by itself, so that defeated the purpose of me beating. Anyway, moving on.
Is that the one where the analog controllers have the like octagon shape thing around them?
Yes. I think Nintendo controllers in general have put the octagon shape around the analog sticks. I think other systems haven't, but Nintendo does.
Yeah, okay.
Why? Is it you just...
I'm not sure I like it, because then you feel... I mean, I guess you have a reference to what angle you're at. Like, you can get the 45-degree angles between each kind of 90-degree instance, but it's not smooth when you circle around.
It does and it doesn't work. It depends on what you're playing. I don't mind it at all. It's not something that gets in my way. Like, even if it's not smooth when I do a full circle, like, because I hear it clicking on 8 points, I know that I've done it.
Sure.
You know, and like, but it's not like, again, it's like, you know, other people know that they've done it because they've done a circle. It doesn't really matter. But I know it doesn't bother me. I could see how it's annoying. But for something like Trauma Center, I think it would be almost impossible to play the game without that little octagon thing. Because you've played Trauma Center, you know that to switch the stuff, you have to hit the exact right angle.
Yeah. And they map, I don't know, it might help, angles, actually. So. I was thinking for like fighting games like Street Fighter would be hard to do, you know, down...
Yeah, but then
well,
you
for a game like that, you wouldn't really use that analog.
Yeah.
Unless you were Zangief and then you'd like to switch the pad to the analog and do 360s.
That would actually help me do the spinning pile driver better.
Really?
Oh, yes, definitely.
The octagon thing, yeah.
Right.
So, you're wrong. No, I'm kidding. No, it can be distracting, and sometimes I wish they wouldn't do it. But you know, for the majority of the games that I play, I'd actually rather have it there. Moving. Oh, whoa! Before I move on, to speak on that little analog thing. If you ever use the Logitech gamepad for the PC, it's a square.
I wish I had it on me. I would be able to see.
Wow, you're right.
And
it's and it's not a diagonal square. It's a square. Like,
I didn't even notice that until now.
It's like a horizontal score, and that is really annoying.
Yeah, it is. Shit.
That's really poor.
Fuck.
But, now he's horrible. Like, fuck.
Now he's got to take it back.
Oh, God damn it. I didn't even know. I never played like a fight. This would be bad. Like a down up.
Yeah, but again, fucking... fighting game, you would use a D-pad because that's, yeah. Or a
no,
real full-on joystick.
I don't like using a D-pad. That's why it pissed me off to use this fucking Nintendo controller.
for a Street Fighter game, you use the analog stick?
Well, that's why, what happened was I started getting the blister that's like the size of a left foot on my
thumb. Oh, that's right. I forgot because you can't play fighting games.
Yeah, so I switched to analog so that it wouldn't like be too rough on my thumb. And
is it smooth on your thumb now? Is your rash going away?
I don't play as well, but I don't get like, you know, I don't break my finger.
Oh, God. Lame.
Yeah,
lame. Ew.
Moving on to the topic at hand, we're just going to talk about this one thing because I think it's enough to generate enough discussion. Last week, Riven sent us a question, and it's part of our mailbag, and I'll read the question today in our mailbag, but he sent us off something that had me and Tony discussing this for a long time, and Ethan is, Al as well a little bit. Here it is. It's, hey guys, first I have to say that I'm extremely interested to hear more of the Ocarina of Time, not a 10 discussion you guys mentioned last week. I'm always taking a lot of flack from my friends for not loving that game. Personally, I think it's a 7, maybe an 8 at its highest. I just think it's highly overrated, and a lot of people forget that A Link to the Past was a much better game. And then he goes on to his mailbag question. And we kind of discussed our thoughts on Ocarina of Time. I thought it wasn't a 10. Tony did. I think, Al, you said it wasn't a 10 either, right?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, but we both thought it was, like, still up there. We both thought it was a 9. And then Tony and I got into this discussion about game ratings and reviews and all that stuff. And then I was like, and then he said, actually, we'd like to hear Riven's reasons for not liking the game instead of just taking it at face value. Like, why didn't he actually like it? And so he actually went full bore and sent us an MP3 question, which we'll play for you right now with a little intro. Let me read a little bit from the email response that he gave to us. Okay. And here we go. I present my response to you in three flavors. First, as can be seen below, is a copy and paste from the Word document into this email box. Second is an attached copy of the Word document. And third is an attached voice recording that you may choose to use instead of reading all those pesky words, which we're going to do. I originally emailed Austin to let him know that I tried doing the voice thing originally, and it ended up being 30-plus minutes long. So this is a re-recording, edited down to a nice 6 minutes and 50 seconds. So, we're going to play that recording now. Not that I don't like reading. We've all read the text already. But I think for the sake of you listeners, because I'm a shitty reader, here is Riven. Take it away, bitch!
Hey, guys. This is Riven here. I'm sending this audio recording because I figured it'd be easier for me to speak this rather than have Austin read it out loud. So this is my response to the whole Ocarina of Time thing. I'm sorry for not explaining my starting position last time. I was referring to Ocarina of Time and A Link to the Past in their respective release periods, not by today's standards, because I played both of those games when they were released. Also, I was more or less equating the value of 10 to mean a perfect game in the eyes of players, not in the terms of a numerical grading system used by reviewers, regardless of the fact that a lot of game critics also feel that the game warrants a 10. Okay, with that out of the way, the reason I feel that Ocarina of Time is not a 10 or a perfect game is because, personally for me, it's just not perfect. It is not as enjoyable as A Link to the Past. I think it was Tony who said that a perfect game was something you could go back to again and again, maybe giving yourself some time to forget what you knew, but then going back and enjoying it as much as you did the first time. Well, that is how A Link to the Past is for me. I remember enjoying it so much that I played it through again immediately after completing it the first time, and I've played it over and over again throughout the years and still get the same amount of enjoyment each and every time, which is something that I don't get out of Ocarina. I think the main points I can contend for why Ocarina is not perfect to me are as follows. Basically, it failed to suck me in or truly engage me in any emotional way. I did not feel captured or enchanted by the story as I would expect and want such a game as this to do. Also, it lacked any strong sense of challenge, and I felt that I breezed through it without any major feeling of accomplishment, as there weren't many particularly tough obstacles to overcome. So I completed the game without any real attachment to it or any feeling of pride or victory over finishing it. I do remember doing the extra stuff, like hunting down those spiders or whatever it was, and I know I invested the time to get everything out of the game that one should get, and just did not feel like I got back in enjoyment what I put forth in time. I went through the entire game in a kind of half-hearted stupor, and at the end put down the controller and thought to myself, well, that was certainly a video game. What's next? To be fair and put things totally into perspective, I have not returned to try Ocarina of Time since that first playthrough, which my friends are always encouraging me to do, and they insist that I would feel differently about it. Which could be true, and maybe knowing what I know now about games in general, I'd be able to appreciate the game on different levels, but the question is, do I really care enough to warrant investing that amount of time again, when my time is much more limited now than it was back then? I don't think so. I really don't care. I think that's the problem with games like this, and especially when they get labeled as perfect, and I agree with Austin that no game could be perfect, is that people who either obsessively love a game, or even those that obsessively hate a game, feel an overwhelming need to sway others to match their opinions. When you think a game is mediocre, you just don't care. That's why I won't waste time playing it again, because why should I spend my time for someone else's attempt to prove my personal feelings about a game wrong? To me, it all just comes down to your enjoyment of the game. I did not enjoy Ocarina of Time as much as I did A Link to the Past, and thus Ocarina is not perfect to me, and due to the sheer level of enjoyment I got out of A Link to the Past, I certainly feel that game comes as close to perfection as I could hope. I guess I just don't understand how so many people did find Ocarina to be so enjoyable, and I guess that's why I stated that I felt it was overrated. I think most of my negative feelings towards Ocarina of Time and wanting people to see Link to the Past as the best Zelda game is mainly just backlash from all the flack I take for not absolutely loving and worshipping Ocarina. In the end, I don't care which game people think is better. It was just a breath of fresh air, so to speak, to hear you guys sort of casually mention that you did not think it was a 10 game, and I just wanted to know more. I really think that the Zelda magic has just become lost on me. Like I said, I can still play Link to the Past today and just enjoy it on a very pure level, but I only played Ocarina through once and have no desire to again. Looking forward, I was actually so disappointed by Ocarina of Time that I skipped Majora's Mask and didn't even look twice in Wind Waker's direction, even when I did own a GameCube. Not because of the art style in that game, mind you, but just because I didn't care to play any more Zelda games. Most recently, with the release of the Wii, I did get back aboard the Zelda bandwagon, and I did get caught up in the hype for Twilight Princess. I even bought it along with my Wii at launch. This is where I know the magic is truly lost on me, though, because while I was getting sucked in through the first hour or two of the game, once I got to the Forest Temple, I just stopped caring. I died enough in that temple to get the game over screen, turned off the game, and have not picked it back up since, and I really just have no desire to. Maybe I'm just an old man stuck in the past. Bearing in mind I am only 25, but I just don't have the time to force myself through games anymore, no matter how important, influential, or revolutionary they may be. Maybe that means I'm no longer the hardcore gamer I once was, but, and I'm sure you guys will agree with this, getting older you start to realize how precious your time is, and I'd rather stop wasting it on games I don't enjoy just so I can say, yeah, I played and beat that too. Anyway, before this gets much longer, I just want to touch on my own answers for my question from last week. I don't think Link to the Past needs any more explanation. I chose Super Mario Bros. 3 because I felt that it took everything that was good about the mechanics of the original and added the overworld map, which I liked. I know a lot of people really like Super Mario World, and while I did love the cape from that game, I think all the costumes used in 3 were much cooler. Also, I really think it helped bring the series back from the unusual tangent that was the second game. As for The Sims 2, because I heard Ethan exclaim wow when it was mentioned, I just have to make the point that I absolutely love creation games. I love what I like to call fish tank games. Obviously, I don't mean real fish tanks, because I certainly am not going to be playing that AquaZone game for the 360, but rather I mean games where you can basically create a world for the AI to exist in, either with your interaction or autonomously if you wish. I remember being a kid and playing Little Computer People on my dad's Commodore 64 and loving it. The original Sims was good and brought back those feelings from my youth, but The Sims was limited, and when The Sims 2 came out and improved on every single aspect of the original and was everything I wanted since Little Computer People, it's impossible for that game to not resonate with me on a deeply personal level. So those are my quick explanations for my choices and my not-so-quick explanation for my feelings on Ocarina of Time. I want to thank you guys for your interest in my thoughts on the subject, and I appreciate your request for my response. I'm sorry if this was too long-winded and fucked up the flow of the show, but I thank you in advance for any of this you choose to share with the rest of your audience, or any of it that you wish to respond to. So thank you. And you guys should continue this trend of listener interaction, because I feel like a valued listener to the show as opposed to just another nameless listener for many other podcasts. So I hope new listeners realize how cool that is, and I hope your audience grows to the size you guys deserve. The size that other podcasts get based on their name instead of their quality. Anyway, let me stop now before my ramblings take over your entire show. Real quick, thanks again, keep up the great work, and I'll always be listening. Peace.
Okay, so that was Riven, folks. Pete! Sounds like in some his basic... we can boil it down to almost this one thing, and that's he just didn't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I think before we start discussing the many things that we could jump off of this for, jump off of this with, I'm sorry. The key thing here is that when you read reviews about games, and then you get all hot and bothered or whatever, or you hear someone talking about a game they just didn't like, the fact of the matter is that it's all down to whether or not you enjoyed the game. Did you enjoy playing it? Did you have fun? How is, and this is actually speaking to his friends here, Riven's friends, how can you expect him to just like it if he doesn't? You know what I mean?
Because he's good, man.
Because he's so good. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, Pete is right for not liking this game. He is right to say it's a 7. No one is right or wrong. I mean, yes, there are certain standards that sometimes you adhere to if you're a game reviewer, and if you're an editor for a magazine, you have to look out for certain things that make up a game that make it good or make it potentially good or whatnot. Like, something like Zelda, all right? And I said this last week. I think they legitimately gave... I think it earned its 10. I think that while I wouldn't give it a 10, the level of enjoyment combined with all the stuff that game did for the genre and for the industry, sure, it deserved a 10. But that's coming from a critic standpoint, in terms of the critic's job is to not only tell you what they thought of the game, but to make a recommendation to you as a consumer to what they think you will enjoy. There's no way they can predict that you'll enjoy this game. Obviously, Riven didn't enjoy the game, you know? But it's their job to make the best estimation possible, and based on what the game did and how well it did it, the score is a 10 because they think that you'll enjoy it. And if you don't, you don't. And I think that the shitty problem that I really hate is that people jump on the reader reviews, and instead of saying, okay, well, this is my point of view, they say, oh, IGN or GameSpot or 1UP or EGM or GamePro, they're stupid. They're wrong. They're not wrong. It's just like you. It's one guy trying to make an opinion, and in this case, it's an opinion that's based on professional, you know, on their profession, as best as they can do it, you know. So, it's for people to, you know, start heckling people for that. Like, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I've wanted to say why I thought Halo was overrated, and then, like, I've held back because I knew all it would become would be a discussion on, you're wrong, no, you're wrong, he's right and you're wrong, and blah, 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 blah. And it's just, you know, ridiculous. So the key thing here is, if he didn't enjoy it, he didn't enjoy it. That's the bottom line. I mean, there's so much more to this email and what we could talk about, but that's just my $3.50 on this situation. What are your guys' thoughts?
Well...
Go ahead, Al.
Me? All right, fine.
Or it, don't. Either. I'll go first if you want.
Go ahead, man.
I was going to say, I mean, I think that's right. Like, it obviously it's signed as, like, you either like it or you don't. But I think what's interesting in this case is that it's not like it's a game out of a genre that he usually likes. It's something that he was probably likely to like and then didn't. For whatever reason, it just didn't compel him to keep playing. Whereas, you know, he liked Link to the Past.
I think that's another thing we need to clarify. Did he finish the game?
Which one?
Go ahead. Ocarina of Time.
He said he didn't. He said that he didn't come back to it. And
are you sure he's not talking about Twilight Princess?
I think he says, I have not returned to try Ocarina of Time since that first playthrough, which my friends are always encouraging me to do, and they insist...
I think...
No, he completed it, but he didn't go back to play it again.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
If he did complete it, that's actually impressive, given that he didn't like it.
Right. Like Red Steel, like me and Red Steel.
A chance.
Right. I mean, well, this is the kind of the other piece is that, you know, there's sometimes when you play a game where you do as much as you possibly can and you try to get as many points as you can in whatever that means in that particular game. And you do it out of some kind of probably OCD need to get everything out of the game that you possibly can, whether it's picking up every coin or, you know, searching every stupid mouse over in an adventure game or whatever.
Oh jeez.
Well, it's like it's that kind of deal. So I wonder why he didn't like it, besides the fact that it just didn't compel him, or if he has any more specific reasons as to why it didn't compel him.
I will offer a guess, and it's a guess that kind of plagued me in the beginning. It's a thing that kind of plagued me in the beginning when I was playing it. It may be, and I don't want to overgeneralize here, but it may be the fact that you're in 3D. And let me explain that for a second. I'm not... I love 2D gaming. I generally think it's more to the core of what I like about games than 3D gaming, but all gaming is great, you know what I mean? So this is not, but this is not a whole, like, 2D is better than 3D kind of crusade. This is just when I first picked it up, and I compared my the sensation to playing A Link to the Past. The world in 3D, the Zelda world in 3D, it's a very vast, very complex, very intricate world, no matter what Zelda game you pick up past A Link Past. And going to 3D for that for the first time, you just wake up and you just kind of wander around and you try to find your sword. And then you get your sword, you go into the first dungeon, you try to find... It's a lot of finding things to go back and do something else, to find something else, to go back and do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as opposed to...
It's the Zelda way. But when you thrust that into 3D, it's a little bit hard to get your bearings. You know, it's easier to miss... oh, that doorway over there. Or that branch over here. Or that ladder behind you. It's easier to miss that type of stuff. Especially with the way that 3D cameras kind of work. You know, so it's kind of like... You get to a point where you're like, fuck, I'm lost.
Wait, but he said... He said he thought it was not as much of a challenge. And he breezed through it without any major feeling of accomplishment.
Right. I'm speaking for myself.
No, I was just wondering, like, that's an interesting comment then.
It might be totally the opposite for him. But I think the other thing about the whole 3D environment is just not as it's just not as dive in and play and have a blast friendly when you're talking about those action adventure games in 3D. Which is why I think a lot of people like God of War so much, is because you jump right in and it fights. Game is fighting me! Oh!
It's a new type of gaming. You don't do anything. It fights itself.
Yeah, like Final Fantasy XII. No, but like you jump in and you're fighting right away, and usually action adventure games don't really do that. Like action platformers, they make you find like 20 zillion types of things, and like in Super Mario 64 and in Jack and Daxter, you have to find like 20 zillion things, or in Star Fox Adventures or things like that. You know, it's a slow burn. And with A Link to the Past, which I gotta agree with him, is a better game. You kind of jump right in, and whether you're solving a puzzle or fighting enemies or doing whatever, because of the kind of streamlined nature of the presentation, it being in 2D, it's easier to just kind of get in and go. It's hard to quantify and it's hard to describe. It's something that you feel. You know, I can't really describe it that well, but that's how I feel about it. Like, I can just jump in and I can just go. With Metroid Prime, the reason why that didn't bother me, the whole 3D area, is just because, like, well, I like first-person shooters. And the viewpoint was from a first-person shooter viewpoint, and it kind of threw you into the action.
Oh, yeah.
So it was just paced better. And I don't know that I enjoyed the pacing of Ocarina of Time as much. And this is something that surprised me about Twilight Princess, which is why I like it so much better than Ocarina of Time, is that it's better paced. You're always doing something, and whatever you're doing, they always find a way to make it feel fun or make it feel fast-paced or whatever, you know? The puzzles aren't so widespread out throughout the dungeon that you have to do one thing and then go to the other side to do another thing. You do one thing, you stop along the way to do something else. You stop along the way to do something else, and then you reach the other end and you do something else. When you go all the way back, you still have to do all this crazy shit, and the combat is fun too. So it's always keeping you there in the game. Not so much as God of War, but enough to kind of make it, you know, that much better, in my opinion, than Ocarina of Time. Now, of course, I know that, as usual, 20 people are going to flame me for that remark. I don't care. But, yeah, I mean, that's why I feel that Ocarina of Time was, as great a game as it was, just didn't gel with me the same way that, let's say, Twilight Princess does, or A Link to the Past on a Super Nintendo does. With him, I don't know if it's the same thing, but I can kind of see the hooks there in terms of the whole, like, this is this big world, and it's got a lot of stuff to do, and everything's spread out, and, like, okay, now I have to fucking walk all the way across Hyrule Field and get to this thing, and oh shit, I could have gotten Epona to horseback ride over Hyrule Field, but it still takes a long time, and I didn't know how to get her at first, and it can get annoying. Like, it just can get annoying, period. Like, for me, that's the way it was, and I have the small suspicion that that's the same way for him. And when you bring things down to a 2D interface, it simplifies things, which is both a blessing and a curse. You know, some people are like, it's too simple. I'm a hardcore gamer. I like 3D. 2D is too simple. But at the same time, it's also like 2D is simple, so you get to the core of the game, and the challenge now is in the way they design the levels and, like, you know, not try to fiddle your way around the controls or the viewpoint or whatever. So I don't know if that's his case, but it was somewhat the case for me. I don't know if that helps explain the position I took.
Well, sure.
Do you think the story was better in one versus the other?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I'm one of those rare gamers who does not care about story. Like, this could be totally disconnected, and it probably... It actually is. All the Zelda stories are almost disconnected to each other, from each other. And this could have had, like, the shittiest story, and Zelda could have been like, "Hi, Link, I am being the capture. Please save me." And it would have been a great game for me, because I do not care one bit if his story is bad, as long as the gameplay is good. If his story is good, all more power to it, you know, but if the gameplay is good and the story is bad, yeah, so what, you know? So I'm the wrong person to ask. Al, actually, you'd probably be a better person to ask. What did you think of the story?
Of the story of Ocarina of Time versus Twilight
so
Princess?
Versus so far in Twilight Princess, yeah.
I like Twilight Princess's story much better, mm-hmm. only because the Ocarina of Time is the same old played-out story.
Right.
I mean, Twilight Princess is the same old played-out story,
In the end, right? The overall...
Yeah, it's just basically the overall feel is...
I think you're referring to the execution of the story?
Yeah, the execution of the story and the overall, like, tools that they use to present the story.
Right.
Like,
I heard it's much darker.
Yeah, it's much darker and much more, like, almost apocalyptic.
Right.
Than Ocarina of Time was. Like, Ocarina of Time threatens to be apocalyptic, but it never really is.
Like, I thought it kind of was after you began.
Well, I mean, other than when you go 7 years later and everything is all messed up. But what I'm saying is that you don't
see
really
it
see it happening.
I see what
you
mean.
Really,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're
I
not
totally
involved
agree.
In it. You miss it all.
Yeah, totally agree. That makes sense.
So basically you're trying to repair what's already been broken.
Right, right.
It's not like how in, say, Final Fantasy VI, where you're go
the
throughout
core.
The entire right. destruction of the world, and yeah. that pretty much, it hits you real
right.
hard.
You're
because,
in the thick of it, yeah.
Right, and everything that you used to be involved in, all the towns that you were in, you used to know how they were, and now they're all destroyed. All the people you used to know, all scattered across the world, and they're just, you know, you have to hope that everybody's okay. And that's what kind of helped you emotionally, well, what
emotionally
presented
engine.
That game greatly.
Right.
You know, it impacted the player. And I just think that, you know, with Ocarina of Time, you knew what was going to happen. It was like, okay, I'm going to go and get these things, these three artifacts, and we're probably going to use it to stop Ganondorf, but it's not really going to help. Ganon's probably gonna, you know, do something,
and then the spirits tell you right out there. They're like, "Okay, we are going to move you 7 years into the future."
Yeah,
and then you wake up and you're like, "You are 7 years into the future. Things got blown to shit, but you were asleep, so you're cool." You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but basically, it was just like, "I'm sorry, Link. We fucked up. Now you must fix."
Yeah.
So, but now that versus A Link to the Past.
Yeah, it's like a yeah.
That's kind of it's a tough thing to do right there. Compare Ocarina of Time to Link to the Past for me, because it's the only real thing that I can compare the two on is level design.
Right.
Because you can't compare graphics because it's one generation versus another generation.
Right.
And I can definitely say that, you know, a lot of the music in Link to the Past is very memorable and it's very reusable.
Right.
Like, let's see, what game was that? That was, I think, yeah, that was in Twilight Princess, where they reused the Hyrule Castle theme song over and over again.
Oh, yeah, that was
it
awesome.
It was excellent when they did that.
Right.
And that's something that you can't really see from Ocarina. I mean, the only songs that you could really reuse from Ocarina are the Ocarina theme songs, which, of course, they do that in Twilight Princess, too. And those are great, too, but it's just nothing that can compare to that Hyrule Castle theme song.
Right.
Especially when you put some real instruments behind it and some real dark mood behind it.
Right.
Oh. Anyhow.
Are you
splooging level
in your pants?
With level design versus you know, Ocarina versus Link to the Past. Yeah. I can't really remember that much of a Link to the Past, like the Dark World stuff. But maybe you can answer this for me, Austin. Is there anything Was there a dungeon that you had to switch between light and dark in?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
But there are things you have to switch between, like, light and dark to get to the dungeon.
To get to, right.
Yeah, so.
But not, like, the actual, in order to complete the
right,
dungeon.
Right, nothing like the Spirit Temple in Ocarina.
Right. Yeah. See, that Spirit Temple was a really good puzzle. I like the integration of both of the worlds, because they could have easily just left it at, okay, in order to complete all the temples, you need to be Adult Link. And we're going to leave Young Link alone for the rest of the game once you change to him.
Right, right.
But I like the fact that they integrated the two dimensions of Young Link and Teen Link.
Right. Pube Link.
Pube Link. But with A Link to the Past, I did like the integration of the light world and the dark world in order to get from point A to point B.
Right. There's something else that I want to talk about from this, but before that I want to address something that he said in his original email, and that was him saying, like, I had to paraphrase now because I don't have it in front of me, but oh, here we go. But he was saying something like, yeah, it's something that, you know, I don't understand why they don't get that A Link to the Past is just a better game. He said something like that. And to that, I have to say the same thing that I defended you with, Riven, is that, well, again, other people probably enjoyed it more than A Link to the Past. They probably thought Ocarina was a better game the way it was designed and stuff. And that's something that while I agree with you, I wouldn't argue with them because they have good points. I mean, if you didn't like the game, you didn't like the game. They did, you know, and they're probably good reasons that they like the game. They're probably not just sitting there saying, I didn't like it because it's Zelda. You know, they're probably good reasons for them to like the game, and they're probably good reasons for a lot of people to like the game more than they did A Link to the Past, you know? So it's not like, oh, these guys just don't get it. No, they just have a different taste. They have a different, you know, view on things, and their opinions are just as valid as yours. So, I mean, it goes both ways, you know? They shouldn't be...
So do I.
Huh?
Nothing.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be lambasting you. At the same time, you know, throw them a bone. You know, they have every right to say that they think X game is better than Y. But the other thing I want to touch on with his email, actually Ethan brought it up, is he said something about how, you know, oh yeah, he's 25 now, and he just doesn't kind of have that feel to get into a game like that anymore. Now, I guess this needs more clarification, because does that mean that you wouldn't play any kind of action-adventure game and not just limit it to Zelda? Because you know that Zelda's not the only action-adventure game out there. There are lots more like it. Like Okami, you know? And nobody say that Okami is a totally different game, because it's not. It's the same game with different graphics and a wolf. And that's fine, because it's probably a great game, but it's the same game. Anyway, he's 25, I'm 25. Al, you're 26. Ethan, you're some fucking ancient age that I, you know, don't want to release without your permission.
68? No, I'm 31. Yes. That's fine.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Old Grandpa Hardcore.
Old Grandma Hardcore. So, yeah, Pete, we totally feel your pain on that. Like, we are, you know, we're aging, you know.
I'm
25,
am.
And I'm the youngest one on this podcast, you know. So, it's like, where are our lives going? And he mentions that, you know, he doesn't have the time to force himself through them anymore, no matter how important or influential they may be. You know, with a long game like this, especially one that you kind of don't like, I mean, for you, Ethan, especially, like, I think you're hit by this the hardest. Like,
yeah.
how are you managing to find the games that you like or find the time to play a game that's really important and revolutionary? And when you find that you don't like it that much, you know, what do you do? Because, I mean, like, everybody says, oh, I have to play this game because people say it's good and people say it's important, but I just can't slog through it. Like, for me, I try to do it because regardless of how much I want to, you know, complain about my schedule, like, I consider myself a student of this medium. I want to learn about it. I want to learn more about it. So I do not excuse myself from that, even if I don't like a game. Red Steel, see that? That's a shitty game. It's a perfect example of what not to do with a Wii game.
Oh,
but
boy.
for someone like you, Ethan, who has been a lot busier than I have in recent months, and, you know, has a lot of other shit going on, how do you cope with that?
I probably cope with it like anyone would, where you really do run out of time, so the game has to be so compelling that it forces you to not sleep or skimp out on work or school in order to play it, and that happens a lot less frequently now. Part of that is, I think it's like kind of a double problem. One is, as you get older, you find different things fun, I think your tastes probably do change a little bit. I don't think it, I think it's inevitable. I think it's impossible to just be the same person that you were at 20 than you are at 30.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, right, you know, there's so many more competing interests, or, well, not interests, but requirements.
Necessities.
Yeah, you have to it's just life. Get more stuff done. Get, you know, your girlfriend gets, you know, more intense, and you decide you want to go to graduate school, and work gets a little bit, you get more responsibility.
Right.
So what happens is, if I pick up a game, it doesn't matter if everybody says it's awesome, and I even see that I can probably get more out of it if I force myself to play a few hours, I won't. I'll play an hour, right, and I'll put it down, and it never gets put back in, right, again.
Because you don't have those extra hours to get into it.
Right, because like the 10 minutes that I get to play a game, I want it to be the best gaming experience I can. So I'll just put in, or I know I only have a half hour to play, which is even kind of the worst thing, which is what I've done, where I'll play games that are mediocre on purpose. Because
really? Just so you can have, because they last that amount of time and they do their job.
Exactly. Like I've basically wasted the half hour, which is what I wanted to do, but I won't get sucked in because I know I have to get sleep. And I know if I put in a game I really love, like I'll wait to play a game that I'm always thinking about and desperately trying to play because I know I want like an 8 hour slot to play it.
Sure, sure.
And unfortunately, since mm-hmm. that happens so rarely, those long sessions of games that you really enjoy where you're getting the most out of your gaming experience happen. They just happen more rarely now.
Yeah.
And I can totally see that with Ocarina because, for me, that game was a slow burn. There were some...
It definitely is.
Yeah, it was a slow burn. There were some things that, like, you know, I was like, aha, this is an awesome puzzle. But, you know, I knew that I had to kind of work a lot to get to the next one. And you know what I mean? Like, for Twilight Princess, again, this is just my opinion, but I feel that it's very tightly integrated into each other. Everything that you're doing is interesting. Even just... fucking exploring Hyrule Field in this one is so interesting because it's so huge and there's so many things that you can bump into, and it's just mm-hmm. more involving. And Ocarina of Time for me wasn't as involving, as good as it was. It just wasn't as involving and wasn't as off the bat like wow. So that may be what, you know, Riven was experiencing. And with someone who has a schedule like we do, it's like, can I afford to wait? And obviously, Ethan, you can't, and that's understandable. Like, you just can't. What about you, Al?
One of these days I'm going to get to my games.
Yeah, I think that's how, I mean, that's the point. That's how we all feel. So one of these days I'm going to play all those games I wanted to play for the length of time I wanted to play them.
Exactly. And it's funny because, Ethan, you're talking about playing like mediocre games or whatever because they can fill that time slot. That's why I like Virtual Console. Mm. Because I get to sit down for like 10 minutes at a time and have a blast of a time doing something that I probably won't be able to accomplish anything in, but the accomplishment will be that I'm entertained.
Right. Right.
Like, for example, I was playing Double Dungeons for like almost 2 hours, right? I finished the first level.
Are you playing a two-player?
Of course not. who do I
know, I know, I'm kidding, go ahead.
So I finished the first level and then I just looked at the second level. I was like, oh, my brain hurts because I had to remember the entire maze. I didn't write it down.
Oh.
I remember the entire maze by head. It was cool because the monsters were landmarks.
Oh, shit.
But anyhow, yeah, it was like, oh, that leech. I know where I am. I go this way. And there goes that sorcerer. Oh, there goes the treasure chest. Okay. And then all of a sudden I started seeing stuff I didn't see before. And I was like, oh, my God, there's a new part. Right. Anyway, I had 15 minutes before I had to leave on Friday.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, what can I do in 15 minutes? I had a whole bunch of games that I either needed to plug in another controller for or that would take a while to play or something like that. And then I saw R-Type. I said, oh, I can get frustrated with this game real quick. Played for all of 6 minutes. I passed the first level the first time.
And you're like, fuck it.
And then I died. And I was like, I'm not continuing. And then I played the first level, and I died. And I was like, I can't believe this. So I quit.
And you went to work?
Well, I didn't go to work. I went out that Friday night.
Oh, okay.
And, oh, man, I could do that, like, anytime. Like, for example, if we end this podcast early and I have 10 minutes, I can go play R-Type.
Right.
Or Soldier Blade.
Right.
And have a blast of a time for
right,
10 minutes.
Right.
But then there's games like Xenosaga.
Oh, Jesus.
That I haven't started yet. There's games like Dragon Quest, which I probably won't finish for another half a year. There's games like Baten Kaito's Origins that's still in the wrapper.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's
still
it's
in
like
the
those
games
I will
good.
Get to.
That's actually a good question. Like, how many games do you have that are still in the wrapper?
Only like three.
What was the max you ever had?
like three. Oh. It's the same. It's the same number of games. The only thing is, I only recently just started buying games and not opening them. But the question is, how many games do I have that I'm still in the middle of that I can remember? Like, I'm just looking at my racks. I see Shenmue 2. I remember exactly where I am.
Shenmue.
Yes. I think last time I played the game was like 1999 or 2000. I still remember where I am in that game.
Wow.
You know, there's stuff like that. Like, what's the game? Super Magnetic Nunu. I still haven't finished that game, and I know where I am in that.
All right.
You know, Katamari Damacy, I didn't really finish that, but I know where I'm in that. You know, there's a whole bunch of games like that where it's like, the game is like 20 hours long, 30 hours long, and I haven't played it for three, four years, but I need to get back to it. And eventually I will.
Right, right.
So then the question is kind of like, what, you know, you have those moments where you're like deciding what you're going to play, and you've got all your games in your shelf, and what compels you to keep playing the newer games? Is it just because they're newer and you want...
It's shiny.
They're shiny. Okay. That's a fair it's answer.
It's shiny.
They're shiny and new. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was his big response to our response to his original email. But his original email in the first place was a normal mailbag question, which he kind of lost sight of. So here is the mailbag. We got a question from Happy Cloud and a question from Riven, and that's it. A new review from Riven on iTunes and a comment from this guy, Digimatrix, on my GameSpot blog. But first, we'll get to Riven's question. I want each of you to pick three games that you think are absolutely perfect, keeping in mind that this is not a trapped on an island question, nor is it meant to imply that you only think these three are perfect and nothing else is. I guess the latter is more of a disclaimer for everyone else listening that I'm giving on your behalf. With that said, the three I can think of are A Link to the Past, Super Mario 3 because it perfected everything from the original, and The Sims 2 because it was a game that I've been waiting for since Little Computer People and improved on. There are a few others, but in the interest of time, and because Al probably has to go to work, knock that shit off, Al. Actually, Riven, this time Ethan also has to go in another brunch. Knock that shit off, Ethan. We're limiting it to three. Feel free to explain your choices as well. Ethan, you should go first because you had something to say about his Sims WoW thingy. What? I don't know. What was that?
Oh, no, he had made a comment about how I said WoW when he said The Sims 2 was one of the most perfect – or was a perfect game. And I wanted to clarify that because I didn't mean WoW like, I can't believe you thought The Sims 2 was one of those games. I just meant WoW, I finally meet somebody or hear from somebody that thinks that. There's a ton of people that agree with him.
You're in agreement with him, right?
Well, I don't know if I'm in agreement with him, but I for some reason, it's kind of like, well, it's like, I don't know, it's like one of those things where everybody seems to like it. It gets, you know, huge reviews, but I can never find anybody that actually admits to liking it.
Right.
Like, nobody I know actually would say that it's a perfect game. Not that nobody likes it. I enjoyed it for a small amount of time, but I actually liked the first one better, and I thought the second one was, it was not as innovative as the first one. And maybe because, you know, it's inevitably that way because it's a sequel. But I thought that, I mean, to me, The Sims is like the beginning of a video game where it's every other video game in a video game where you then just customize your home life, which adds a video game to every other video game. And what I mean by that is the one thing that they didn't include in the first Sims, which I thought they were going to start including in the second, which they kind of did, but they didn't really, and I'll explain in a minute, is working. Like, your Sim goes to work, and the clock just starts ticking by, and he just sits there, and then you wait for him to get back. So really, what you're focused on is time management and your own Sim's, like, you know, personal needs, social needs, and I guess financial needs and thing needs. So you build a house, you paint it, you do stuff like that. The tools for that are amazing. And they were revolutionary when they came out. Tools for designing your Sim, awesome. And doing a bunch of that stuff is really fun. And it just, for me, got really repetitive kind of quickly. And so eventually you're just like, well, I'm just like, I tried these different career paths. And the most interesting thing to me about the game was, look at all these great career paths that I never actually get to do anything with.
Right.
So then in the second one, I'm like, oh, they're definitely going to do something with the career
paths. Like a cat burglar.
Yeah, exactly. Like a cat
burglar. You don't get to burgle anybody. And that's
exactly.
Burgle.
I'd like to burgle. I mean, you're sitting there and a burglar comes in. So there's somebody else doing your career track, but you don't ever get to do it. And I thought it was funny that it's never a Sim that you know that burgles you who's in the career track. Like it's never the whatever the Toths or anything coming to rob you. But so I thought they were going to do it. And the second one, they come out with an expansion pack open for business, which allowed that this was like this mall that your Sims can go to. And then there's some business transaction stuff and they can start a business. And there's some other kind of weird stuff about it, but it's so limited. It's so limited in what you can do. They did a weird thing where time stops when you go away because they didn't really know how to handle it. So when you go to the market, like, time stops in your house area, and it was kind of, I thought it was kind of weak. Right. But the future of the game, I think, is that, you know, you build these games into The Sims, and then you have the fundamental, overall, amazing, what a video game is kind of defined as being.
Right.
You know, right now you buy a racing game, you buy an adventure game, you buy a first-person shooter. They can combine all those things, and then at the same time you're just playing with an avatar that you get to customize and make your own and have all this social interaction with other people.
Right.
Which then bleeds into, like, what home is and Second Life and all that other stuff. Anyway, so that's all. I just wanted to say that, like, I think it's great that he thinks that's one of the games. It's not that I'm surprised that that's one of his perfect games at all. Right. I mean, it's the most popular video game ever. So,
well, what are your three then?
Fuck, man.
If you need time to think, Al can go first, and then I'll go.
Al, do you have him?
I guess I have three perfect games, I suppose. I would definitely say that a perfect game until its successor comes out is Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those little hidden gems of a game if you actually have time to really get into it. If on the outside, it just looks like a fun little mauler, beat-em-up type of game. But there's so much strategy hidden in the game when you play with people who play really well. Something that you could play for years and years and years and years and still continue to play with people who are like-minded. Another game I think is perfect is Soul Calibur, in terms of just how natural it feels, how well the graphics were presented, at least on the Dreamcast, in terms of a home console. And the music was excellent, the voicing was excellent, the natural flow of the game in terms of the fights and the doing the moves, it's very, very natural. And that was the first time I ever played a game where I didn't know how to really play with the characters, but everything I thought of doing reflected in the button presses on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
So I like that. I think that was a 10 as well. And as much as some people probably would disagree with me, I'm going to say that just pretty much as a series, the Pokemon series is a series of 10 games in terms of the selection of characters that you can choose from, the way the level progressions are done. It's not a static table. It's all dynamic. The interaction between people, and that has evolved, and it's evolving still even to the DS version, where interaction between people is expanding, and your rewards for interacting with people is expanding even further to help develop your little army of Pokemonsters.
Right. I suppose I'm next. I don't believe in a perfect game, but for the sake of this argument, we're going to pretend that I do, and I guess I'll qualify that as close to as possible. The first and foremost ones that come to my mind are Metroid Prime, Soul Calibur, like you said, and I always waffle around these kind of last ones. I'm in the mood to say Super Mario 3.
Hey, Video Armageddon.
Yeah. Metroid Prime, because I really like the formula, and I think it was basically the formula that Metroid revolutionized is something that was kind of like, you could feel that it was made for 3D. It was made to be this kind of gigantic 3D world that's connected and organic, and it just works. I mean, people don't like it sometimes because they don't like the first-person controls or whatever, but
I
don't like exploration, but for me, it, like, no question. There's no game for me that has thrilled me more, except for potentially, and I actually left this one off my list in favor of Mario 3, so I'm going to take off Mario 3 because I can't believe I forgot this. But Final Fantasy VI. So my list is now Metroid Prime, Final Fantasy VI, and Soul Calibur. Final Fantasy VI because, some people may say I'm blinded by nostalgia, but to be truthful, I'm actually only playing through this game for the first true time, because the first time I played it on Super Nintendo, I had a walkthrough. Because I was in 8th grade, and I was like, "Ew, this walkthrough is fun to read. Let me read it while I play." This is the first time I'm really playing through it. I'm playing through it with somewhat of a different translation, although it's not necessarily better. I'm rediscovering a lot of things over again, and it's one of those things that, like A Link to the Past, you jump right in, and there's shit to do right there, right off the bat, and it just feels... A lot of the games that I like and I rate highly are due to, you know, that, like I mentioned last week, that je ne sais quoi, I don't know what it is, it just grabs you. And Final Fantasy VI has that, whereas no other Final Fantasy, except for 4 maybe, and slightly, possibly, maybe 9, you know, none of the other ones had that. 6 had that for me, and, you know, that whole end-of-the-world thing and totally changing the face of the world, like you mentioned earlier, Al, is one of the other reasons why I love the game so much. It's just structured great, and even with the little flaws that it does have, like, it just doesn't stop me from going ahead full blast and just playing the shit out of that game. And Soul Calibur, I have to mimic your reasons the same way. It's natural. It's natural, but it's also skill-based. You can be really good at it by being really good at it, or you can have fun when you're not good at it. That's not to say that you'll kick the shit out of somebody who's really good at Soul Calibur, but you'll still have fun.
Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, but you'll still have fun because it just is fun to do the moves.
Yeah, and you're at a point where it's like, you can get your ass kicked, but not feel like, oh my god, I couldn't do anything, this game isn't fun.
Right.
Where you can actually really try and try different things and think, okay, well, I want to, like, sweep them, so I know I want to go and crouch back, and my foot's going to go behind me, so let's go down back and kick. And then he sweeps. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. And I get my ass kicked anyway.
But, yeah, I would say runners-up, you know, honorable mentions would be, like I said, Mario 3, definitely A Link to the Past. Until Twilight Princess proves me wrong, Riven, I have to agree with you that A Link to the Past is the best one in the series. But Twilight Princess is winning me over slightly. What the fuck is that game? Unreal Tournament deserves a mention for me. Deus Ex is far from perfect. There's so many flaws with it, and yet I would play that game over almost every other PC game that I own again and again and again. So if that's what I have to use as defining the word perfect, then Deus Ex gets it. And that's about it for me. Ethan, have you thought of your perfectos?
I came up with like 10.
Okay.
Well, just spat them off and then explain the ones you feel most strongly about.
Okay, I'll agree also to start that I don't know if I could say like any of these are perfect.
Right.
I have a tough time with that because it's so
such a weird qualifier.
Yeah, it's too all encompassing. But yeah. Ghost Recon was one of those games, and I bring it up because when I first played it, it sucked. I hated it. It was too hard. I was like, this is bullshit. It's stupid. And da da da. Put it down. And then we played multiplayer with Andrew and Tony, and all of a sudden it was like the best game I'd ever played. So that was an interesting one.
Playing with men.
Well, that's an interesting one. Like, you know, something you go back to, you try it, and you play it, and it sucks. And you go back to it, and it's the most amazing game you've ever played, or it's really
like
good.
Watching Zoolander.
I think everybody's probably had a few games like that.
Rainbow
Six Rogue Spear, I thought was the best execution of the Rainbow Six games.
Mm-hmm.
It really improved on the first one, and there's never been any game that's done that well where you have AI and it's a completely separate AI team that you plan their movements and coordinate with your own. I thought that was really revolutionary. Police Quest 3, that was the first in the series that had, it was when really adventure games or role-playing games switched from type-driven to mouse-driven.
Mm-hmm.
Which one was that? Because I think I might have played that one.
That was the one...
with the stripper.
Well, there's a bunch of murders, and it's all... it's by a cult, and, you know, you still start out as kind of this normal cop, and then you work your way up to detective, and you transfer into narcotics, and you transfer back into homicide, and then eventually you're unmarked, and you, like, you know, catch a drug dealer in the park, and he leads you to this guy, and then you get a warrant, and then you go arrest these people. I forget.
Did it have anything like? Was there a scene where you had to stop this guy when you were uniformed, and if you just stepped out of the car, he'd shoot you?
Oh, that was. I think that was 2 or 1.
Nah, it couldn't have been 2 or 1 because. Well, was Police Quest all in like VGA graphics?
The third one was the first one in VGA.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. Is that one? I'm not sure.
Maybe it was that one.
Because it had the funniest like music for that point because there was some. It was like, and then you step out the car, and you go, and you fall to the ground.
Oh, that's, okay, so that's if you don't check the license plate first.
If you don't radio for backup.
Oh, are you sure that was 3? Because they redid 1 in VGA.
Oh, maybe it is.
Yeah,
one.
I think.
I'll take a look at
take
it.
Take a look.
We'll keep going.
They redid 1 in VGA. So 1 started out as type-driven, then they had 2 as type-driven, then they did 3, then they redid 1 after 3 as VGA. And mouse-driven, which I thought was, like, awesome. Because I'm a huge fan of the series, but I'm like a nerd like that. SimCity 3000 I thought was the best of that game.
Okay.
I think that game deserves something along the way. I don't know.
I agree. I don't know why I left it off. But
Half-Life I thought is, like, the best, like, started taking a series that really had typically no story whatsoever and interwove this entire story. I remember to this day when I opened the game, put it in, and started watching that first cutscene where you're just in a
the Black Mesa train.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just riding through and you hear some stuff and it's unbelievable. And you don't shoot anybody for the first 45 minutes and it's still awesome. Splinter Cell, the first one. Silent Hill. Metal Gear Solid, I thought was really awesome.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I loved it. And Empire Earth.
Mm-mm. Yeah, Ethan, it was a remake of the first one.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the first one was funny. First one had the funniest. I think in the first one, also, there's one where you pull over a girl and she, like, flirts with you.
You're talking about Police Quest, huh?
Yeah. She just flirts with you.
Yeah, and if you get the point if you give her a ticket, but you don't lose the game if you don't.
Right. And then there's a point at the end where you meet up with an old high school friend. You could have sex with her, and then you lose the game because you missed the bus.
Oh shit! You have to
turn her down because I did that by mistake because she's like looking at you all suggestively.
Right.
She's all like, "Thank you for helping me and getting me out of trouble and such and such and such." If you click on the bed, you sleep with her.
Oh shit!
But if you talk to her, you turn her down and you go and you bust the drug dealer.
Nice. Maybe I never even thought to sleep with her. That's pathetic. I was a horny little bastard.
All right, let's move on.
Yeah, sorry.
Question from Happy Cloud. I'm going to make this a really quick one because you guys have to puss out, and there's some comments that I need to read from on the podcast and, like, reviews and shit. Here's Happy Cloud. I'm going to take a wild guess here and assume nobody here owns all three seventh-generation consoles. If somebody does, well, then they just don't get to answer the question. Is there a game on the console? Is there a game on a console that you don't own that you wish you could play? This can include future releases. This time I'm actually going to answer the question too, as I feel it's too one-sided otherwise. I own a Wii, but I wish I could play Gears of War. There. Who says we can't answer our own questions? Oh, and Austin, this is for you. Gives Austin a big hug. Why do I get the hug? Okay. Go ahead, guys.
Home on
PS3. Oh, he just gave you a hug for no reason? Yeah.
I don't know if that counts.
Home on PS3 is not out yet.
Well, but I thought he's...
How you going to play a game that's not out yet, huh?
He said it can include future releases.
Oh.
If you were listening...
I thought he said future releases.
All right, go on, Ethan. Ethan, what were you saying?
I mean, if that counts, it'd be home on PS3. I think you that, I really think okay. that's something I'd like to try out.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Al?
I'd have to say Panzer Dragoon Order on Xbox. I know it's not... No, all right. To be serious, I'd say Gears of War probably. Or Castle Crashers, or any of those like
Xbox
cool
Live
Xbox
arcade
Live
games.
Arcade games.
On my front, I the only thing I don't own is a PS3 and a really really spanking computer because mine can barely handle Oblivion at 20 frames a second with HDR on. But I won't count my PC then because otherwise I'd say Crysis. For the PS3, I'll be really honest with you. Unless they surprise me with anything, I don't give a shit about Metal Gear Solid 4. I don't give a shit about Devil May Cry 4, and I don't give two fucking shits about Final Fantasy 13 enough to want to pay $600 for it.
True.
So unless they come out with something totally out of the blue, like Microsoft came out with Gears of War totally out of the blue, and I was like, holy shit, I must have that. I have what I need. There's nothing that I want to purchase a new console for at the moment. But who's to say that can't change? You never know.
Right.
And that's it for the questions. Before we sign off, I want to quickly read some comments and feedback. The first one is a comment on my GameSpot blog from DigiMatrix. Digi_Matrix. You guys are stellar, but you guys need to lower down the amount of filler. In other words, lots of funny sounds and random weird stuff. Get on to talking about games and things right away. I don't want it to be like those god-awful one-up podcasts where it goes on for 2 hours and more and they barely talk 20 minutes worth of stuff. GameSpot seems to be the very best at these podcast things. Tight and straight to the point. By the way, I would like to know who are the guys behind the podcast. Well, Digi, you can check us out on trigames.net, TRIGAMES.net. Go to the About section on the top bar, and we got profiles on the right-hand side. You might recognize some guys from GameSpot who actually contribute to us. And when I say from GameSpot, I mean users, not staff members. Thanks for the feedback. We really appreciate it. I will say about the whole noise and random filler and shit like that, we do have to cut down on just discussing things that kind of go off tangent and off topic. But as far as the funny sounds and random stuff, I mean, that's kind of who we are. You know, I mean, I will say...
Yeah, I'm a random stuff.
I mean, that's... Yeah, this is our kind of outlet to do it, so...
Boink!
Sorry, I had to do that.
There was a random sound. I mean, that... It's you know, I mean, it's what separates us from someone else. We don't... I don't mean to offend you by this, but, like, we don't give a shit about being the GameSpot podcast, you know? We're not just going to be the GameSpot podcast. You know, and the thing is that I've heard conflicting feedback. Like, other people are like, don't become like GameSpot. Don't just be straight to the point because that's boring. As far as the 1UP podcasts go, they do a really good job of knowing the industry. The 1UP podcasts actually have more insight, but they also fill it, like you said, with a lot of cussing and filler and just like, dude, you're a fucking moron, like over and over and over again. And yes, they do talk for 2 hours without getting to barely 20 minutes of content. And that, I agree, that's troublesome. But I would like to say that I don't think we do that. I think we pepper our comments around our main meat. And we always try to stay talking about content and, you know, just kind of bullshit around it. But we don't, like, blah, 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 and then, like, okay, let's talk about games for now. You know, I don't think we do that. And if we do, then let us know. But so far, I think we've been doing a good job of not doing that. But feedback is valuable. Continue to give it. Let us know if we're declining or improving. Thank you. Give us a pirate or a ninja.
Please.
Pirate.
Read contest details.
Ninja.
And then and then we've got an iTunes review from Riven, which I don't think we read before. We read Jeremy and Colby's, but we didn't read Pete's. Here we go. We got 3 out of 4 stars, which I think is a fair score. I think the 4 stars that we got before were kind of generous. A podcast plagued with many of the problems that are prevalent from independent podcasts, talking over one another, audio level imbalances, background disturbances, like Die Hard on the background last week.
Yeah.
And I don't get this. Host Austin can sometimes seem like he's coked out of his freaking mind. I don't do drugs. I don't understand
this. Yeah, but you can get excited.
I know! But that doesn't mean I'm coked out of my mind!
Right.
I don't understand.
Hear none of that.
Hey, man, lay off the coke.
Shut up! God! Okay,
now all you need to do is talk like MC Peter Pants.
Oh, God. Now, however, the positives greatly outweigh the negatives, and all it takes is one full listen through. Okay, I'm going to stop that. I'm going to read this in another voice, actually. However, the positives greatly outweigh the negatives, and all it takes is one full listen through for the show to sink its teeth so deep into your meaty parts. Oh, that's disgusting. Mm-hmm. That escape becomes impossible. The guys are intelligent and knowledgeable about what they're discussing when conversation does ensue. The show can become absolutely hilarious at times, whether Tony is giving himself a heart attack, Ethan is blatantly being ignored, or any of the guys makes a simple slip-up and are instantly called on it. Okay, my throat's hurting. So, any gamer guy will relate to the relationship and mutual respect through insults that these guys share. If you are in the 18 to 30 gaming male demographic, I can wholeheartedly recommend this show. Anyone else, give it just a listen and judge for yourself. Yeah, if you're too old or too young, fuck you. The format and conversation won't appeal to all, and Ethan's 31, so he's outside of that demographic.
Ignore me.
What?
Nothing.
But personally, as an avid listener to most of the video game-related podcasts available on iTunes, this is the only one that I eagerly look forward to every week with a deep-seated, sweaty desire that is disturbingly positive and incredibly useful. We were working on the noise imbalances. Last week was totally my fault with Tony sounding like Aquaman. We're working to improve that. We need better equipment.
And Aquaman sucks.
That's right. I'm trying to put the whip down on people watching TV while we record, and I don't do drugs, so I hope to not be coked out. God.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but I can't control other people.
Huh?
I said I'm sorry, but I can't control other people. I'll try my best, but difficult.
Do it now.
Do now.
Oh, you're not the only one who has a TV on the background. That just reminded me of something. Tony's not with us today. He is currently recovering. He had a stint in the hospital.
He had some a really giant mole on his pelvis that he had to have removed.
A mole, right. He is recovering. So we wish him well. He's hopefully resting up right now playing some video games. So he will hopefully be back next week. Tony, hope you're listening, and hope you are falling asleep because they gave you lots of cool meds. Meds are the best. But I'm not on drugs! So, anybody who has questions or comments or wants to wish Tony well health, or ill will...
yeah, that's what I'd appreciate.
Send your questions and comments to mailbag@trygames.net. Either spelling works. That means mailbag or maleBAG, as in the scrotum, @trygames.net. Either works. Send your questions or comments in. I know I put my GameSpot and 1UP blogs and have the podcast announcement, but if you can help it, please don't comment on there with feedback. Email us with feedback and comment on whatever else with the comments, but don't put feedback in the email so we can read it out and have it centralized. You can review us on iTunes. Go to the iTunes store, search for trygames.net. You can also dig us, dig.com/podcast/trygames_net_podcast.
/poop.
And don't forget to enter the Pirates versus Ninjas contest. If you are unfamiliar with that, I will actually do something that's long overdue and put a full permanent link on the front page describing the contest. So you'll see that on trygames.net. That's something that I fucked up and didn't do.
Send pictures. If you want to dress up like a pirate or a ninja, I think that's cool.
That's
I'd
great.
I'd really like to see that.
All right, but
or if you want to dress your pets up like pirates and ninjas too, that's really cool.
Ew. Well, any closing remarks from Beard or Dread?
I don't have a beard anymore.
Oh, you don't? Good. You look like a human being now. Okay.
Yeah. I still smell homeless, but I don't look it.
Yeah, I could smell it from here.
Yep.
All right, so I guess that does it. Thanks, Ethan! And Al for being on the show, and thanks, Riven, for the review. Thanks, Digimatrix, for the feedback. Thanks, Happy Cloud, for the question. And thanks, Tony, for hanging in there. We wish you well, and Ethan hates you with
don't
all
do
of
drugs.
His testicles. Don't do drugs. Don't do drugs! For goodness sake! And we're out of here. Bye.
Pirate ninja.
Ninja.